Hi, team. This episode of the SWTOR Escape podcast is brought to you by Alea Iacta Est. For information on joining our gaming community, please visit aie-guild.org.
Hi, team. Welcome to the Escape podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, you'll hear news about Life Day and the Gree, we'll give out a few Galactic Starfighter tips, and we'll explore a holocron on reputation. And maybe you'll find out why laying ceramic floors on ice planets is such a tough job. As usual, we have a shiny new astromech standing by to record this, blast off, and bravely broadcast to you. EPC 17, you good? What's that? When are you going to touch down again? Well, I think it's going to be a long, long time. All right. Hi, Seema. How are you and how's it going?
Wow, this is going to be a busy week, huh? With the Gree and Life Day all at once.
Amazingly busy. Yes, in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. And it's busy in, like, you know, that other, you know, that real world place, too, with the... there's some kind of holiday going on there too. I understand.
Yeah. You know, I'm completely forgetting that. I'm like, I am so busy in Star Wars. I've got so much to do. You're totally right.
So that's what I've been doing, working on my, my Christmas list. But I also did finish leveling my gunslinger, which really isn't saying a lot since she was like at level 53.9999. I think I did one round of dailies on the black hole and one round of dailies on McKeb, and she was there. I still need to finish the McKeb storyline, but I did dailies instead because I had a partner to do dailies with, and we thought that would be fun, and it was. And so she's 55. Good week in ops. With LOL, we went into, as you know, we went into Dread Fortress and Dread House and did both of those, and then went back into Dread Fortress on hard mode, and we struggled a little bit more than I thought we would on the first boss, but it still went pretty well. But then the second boss is still defeating us more or less. We did make some good progress on him, and like measurable progress, but yeah, maybe next week on that one. How was your week, Max?
Pretty good. So we have been hitting, and I say we because I've been doing it with a bunch of people in Guild also, but we've been hitting the Galactic Starfighter pretty hard. Before we did the cast, I got in and I checked out my achievements tab there's a lot of stats in there. And if you haven't looked, go in there under achievements and just look under Galactic Starfighter and you'll see total matches played, total medals acquired, at least until you get to their caps. And I did 120 matches, 656 medals. I got a couple achievements that I didn't know I even got, but some nice ones like Triumphant Scout Pilot, win 50 as a scout, and Untouchable Ace, where you have to kill at least six enemies without dying in a match, and Elite Dogfighter, where you hit 40k damage in a match.
Those sound awesome.
I don't remember doing that. Yeah, I know. I am awesome. Or I'm just banging my head against the wall enough times that you get those outliers that cross some threshold. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of Galactic Starfighter, and I missed it tonight. So Maki and Wags are going to have some extra upgrades that I'm going to miss out tonight. But that's okay, because I had to go into LOTRO. So AIE is in all the games, and I have a character in every game. But I had to go into LOTRO and meet up with my band and do a little practice, because we'd have a concert tomorrow. So anyone that doesn't know, in LOTRO, there's an in-game music system and you can download user-created music files and even multi-part user files that you then synchronize between characters in-game, and you can play music, any music. I've got Jimi Hendrix, Rolling Stones, but we're doing a Christmas concert tomorrow night for the guild.
What time is that
so
start?
I had to do that tonight. I think 9 p.m. Eastern.
I'd like to see if I can make that. I have the Tuesday night hard mode night commitment, but maybe we can shift something around and go to LOTRO instead. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I don't think it'll last too long, but we'll do a nice little concert and people will be able to do whatever they want after that. Usually we should, people go off and do some stream in-game stuff. Yeah, yes, let's go to let's go to the streams, and you could see the hardcore the hardcore PvPers, or you can see the dwarf and the elf in Lotro playing Christmas carols.
You could have a YouTube channel. Really well.
I totally could. I would, yeah, I would make millions. First you get $1 million, then
right.
You play songs in Lotro all day on YouTube.
On your sack butt.
What else? Yes, that damn tiny tower is still, a tiny Death Star has not been destroyed yet. I'm up to 46 floors. But I need to kick the habit. I need to stop. What I've realized has happened is what I used to do in my spare time is, you know, a little bit of downtime. I'm on a work conference call or something here in my home office. I would go into Star Wars and I would spin some crew missions or do a little crafting or something like that. My in-game revenue, my in-game profits have taken a huge hit because I'm tapping on my damn little tiny Death Star. So
that's hilarious.
I should calculate my lost revenue. that tiny Death Star is caused. It's sad.
Well, how many floors is the max? I mean, are you near the end? Because maybe at this point you should just plow through to the end.
No.
That might be the only way you can get through it.
And it's linear progression. Each floor costs more and more. So now, and it takes longer and longer to build the floor. Now it takes like 20 hours to build the next floor. So the previous floor is not even finished building and I'm ready to build the next floor. So I've got like two floors building. And now I have to like wait a whole day for a floor to get done. Yeah, that's bothering me.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I guess we'll see. You're right. We will see. And then to round it out, yes, we did Battle Team Royale, 16-man Karaga hard mode to get some people the mount quest. Did the Lords of Light. I sat out on Thursday so Wags could get a run in, but I was back in last night, which was pretty fun. And I finished Bounty Broker Association rep up to legendary, and we're going to talk a lot more about rep today. So we'll talk about that. However, that's all I've been up to. Let us get into the news.
We appear to have suffered a brief technical fault. Taro, switch the feed.
They just never get that right, do they?
No, I was trying to remember. That's not from the Gree event. That's from the Chevin event, which was a predecessor to the Gree event. But right. I was wondering if Taro was going to show up this week to talk about the Gree. But no, I don't think. Well, he probably got shoved down an airlock. So.
I'm one of the few people that enjoyed that Chevin event. I liked it. Forward to the Gree.
So what do we got this week in the news?
So we are, like you said, the Gree event is starting on Tuesday, which is probably when this podcast will go out, or definitely when this podcast will go out. The game update 2.5.1. In the patch notes, we see that the Gree event and the Life Day are starting and have been added. There are achievements and titles going along with the Life Day event, including the now infamous Special Snowflake title, which is, I think, hilarious. I'm definitely going to go for that one. They fixed some items, apparently some event items. Actually, there's a kind of a long list of them. The older Rat Ghoul and Gree rewards that I guess free-to-play players could not equip because they had not turned off the event equipment authorization thing on them yet. So I guess that has been fixed in this patch note. So everybody should be able to use, buy, equip whatever every event item as was intended, which is a good thing, especially since the Gree legendary lightsabers are the only, I say legendary, but they're the only things that you can use for your legacy for doing this, for smuggling hilts back and forth. So that's kind of a big deal. And then there's a few little minor fixes to that minor thing that, I don't know, something that's been going on the last week or so, Galactic Starfighter or something like that.
Wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
But yes, just minor fixes. So yeah. That was, they're just fixing typos and little icon updates and things like that. Let's see, what else? There was a nice developer blog post in an RP blog post about Life Day out there that people can take a look at, which within the role play of the imperial officials being all upset about this Life Day business that's going on. They talked about the four main things that you can get out of Life Day, the little mini event that's going on around Life Day. One is you buy snowballs for 1,000 credits each, snowball bombs. And the Bob blog post said, unfortunately, these are not actually bombs.
I love that.
It didn't say it's explicitly at that, but the tone was disappointingly, they're not actually bombs. But anyway, you take the snowballs, and I'm not clear if you take the snowballs, you throw them at people, and we'll see tomorrow, obviously. Either the person you throw them at has a chance of getting a snow-covered parcel, or you, for throwing the snowball, has a chance of getting a snow-covered parcel. Regardless, the snow-covered parcels are currency that's used to turn into the Master of Ceremonies to get a couple of the other rewards. One is the Sleigh Mount, which is awesome looking. I'm going to get that. And the second, which is interesting, is called the Cyan Sphere, which requires both snow-covered parcels and gray helix components from the Gree event. So we're going to have to see how that turns out.
Yeah, I still have some gray helix components, and I kind of remember which character I have them on. Or actually not remember. I'll have to go check, because remembering, that's hopeless.
Yes. And they're bound to the character. They're not bound to legacy, so you can't even move them around.
Yeah. Oh, and in guild news, in AIE SWTOR guild news, Wednesday night, with our normal 16-man group, we're going to have a Gree night. Whee! And there may be snowballs included, so everybody come and we'll kill some Gree things, like hopefully the Gree operations boss, maybe some of the Gree world bosses, throw snowballs at each other and get some of whatever that item is, the snow parcel, the snow-covered parcel. And if we run out of things to do and still have time, we will maybe go looking for some other world bosses. And then Friday, I mean, everyone knows that this is the 2-year anniversary of SWTOR, but it's also the 2-year anniversary of our guild in SWTOR. So we will be having a guild anniversary party on Friday, starting at the fleet around 9 p.m. Eastern time. We will be going someplace that's faction and level friendly, so any level, any faction can go. Be there or be square.
Yep, that should be fun. There's a little mini event planned before it, and then we'll do some partying, and I bet there will be some fun stuff that goes along with it.
There might be prizes. You never know.
Might be prizes. Okay, we're going to drop in a little mini segment here next, that because we had some good feedback last week on the Galactic Starfighter tips, so I wanted to get in some of that.
Do a barrel roll!
So I may try to do these relatively often, but not really go deep into Galactic Starfighter, since not everybody's doing it. But three quick tips that I wanted to get, since Machia and Wags and Haruk and Moshi and Spherix were all deep into Galactic Starfighter this week. I sort of pulled those guys and came up with some of my own, and have three quick ones to go through. One, so Spherix is a cool guy in our guild, and he came up with this one. I sort of accidentally took credit for it in conversation, and now I'm running with that. So I had this great idea that I discovered. Anyway, when you're looking at your hangar screen, you have your set of 5 ships at the bottom of the screen. Once you get more than 5 ships, once you get 7 or 8, you can only bring 5 into each Galactic Starfighter match. So you have that set of 5 at the bottom, which is your main set that you're using. If you didn't know, and we didn't until just like yesterday, you can reorder those by dragging them around, dragging them back and forth. And whichever of the ships you put in the first slot is the default ship when you go into a war zone and when you come back out. So if you, like me and like tons of other people, kept going into a war zone, having it default to your strike fighter because that was the first one that was in the first slot, and you kept meaning to start the match in your scout, and you start the match and you're in your damn strike fighter again, reorder, put your preferred ship in that first slot, and you'll always be ready to go when you get into Warzone. I love that one.
That's a good one.
The second one was a good tip just in general about tactics, which we found fighting as a group made a huge difference. A couple things that you'll see good teams do, and we had a lot of success doing, was staying together as a group or in pairs, have a wingman, don't leave your wingman. Maverick, don't leave your wingman. So
now what does the wingman do? Does that help you get dates or?
Exactly.
That's really the only context I've runs interference. Okay.
When you see a hot babe in Galactic Starfighter. No. So, but if you're going after, say, there's a gunship off in the distance, and the gunship, some of those people who fly those gunships can be very talented at taking people out. So as you approach, you're going to be zigzagging, you're going to be ducking behind asteroids. But if two people are going after a gunship, there's no way a gunship can take out two people that are coming towards them, especially if they're fast. So you fly with a pair of people, even if one person gets taken out, the second person takes them down. Same thing when you're going after a strike fighter. One person, the strike fighter might be chasing. If you've got a buddy that's always with you, they can drop back. You sprint ahead. The strike fighter that's chasing you is going to be going after you to get missile lock. Then your buddy behind them can just take them out. It's worked really well. Another couple things, quick things on tactics. We had a lot of success in picking out the gunships early, watching on the load screen for who's flying a gunship, and marking those gunships off visually in the war zone and harassing them as much as possible to keep them from just picking us off from the distance. Once we put pressure on the gunships, that shut them down relatively well for the matches. And finally, just on tactics, stop chasing. So we had a lot more success when we stayed at our satellite, when we stayed at the objective. We sometimes switched objectives, but just stop going off and chasing that one guy in his scout who comes in and harasses you and then flies off, and then you get in this endless circle where you're flying around him and he's flying around you, and you waste 5 minutes flying around each other not doing anything. Just go back to the objective, let them come back, blow them up when they come back with your wingman, and you'll be good. Final tip for the week: kills don't matter. People don't realize this. It happens to be the thing that they default sort on the endgame screen, but kills versus assists don't change the amount of requisition that you get overall. You will get some extra medals for the total amount of kills, but you'll get those medals if you just focus on assists. And the overall requisition versus kills versus assists, the devs have said, isn't that big a deal. What you want to be doing is focusing on objectives. Objectives is what's going to win your matches. If people stop focusing on kills, stop getting worried about kills, they'll have more success in the matches in general. My tip for the wall of crazy is, how about we don't sort the scoreboard by kills? Why don't we sort by objectives or even total damage? I would take that because that's more balanced. Or sort it by a random column every time so people don't get all worked up over their kills. Because even myself, even knowing this, and you know, we all agree on it, the first thing you do is see how high to the top of the board you are when that scoreboard comes up, and you're just thinking kills, and then you gotta reset your thinking. That doesn't matter. Let me sort by something else and get
all
over
I
it.
Tried to do is make sure, you know, I would look. I start at the bottom, and for every row up I went, I was happy.
See, that's a good attitude. I approve. All right. So that's it for Galactic Starfighter this week. We did have a lot of fun, and I expect to be doing it quite a bit on Jedi Covenant, so come fly with us. But next, we will talk a little bit about reputation.
Deep in the ancient, monster-infested tomb of Marka Ragnos, there is a holocron filled with dark secrets and encased in a great stone monument.
So yes, we have the Kree coming back. We have the Bounty Hunter event that is just wrapping up, but we'll come back next month. We have Rakghouls coming someday, soon. All of these reputations gets us all in the mindset of, again, of what to do with reputations, what they are. So quick primer for people that aren't familiar. Reputations on your legacy UI screen. your legacy tab. If you hit Y, that's the default button to bring up your legacy screen. And then there's a setting on the left to look at reputations. And you can look at all the reputations you have and how much progress you have against getting to legendary in each of those. Currently, as of the time you'll hear this, there will be 13 reputations in the game. There's planetary ones, there's the bounty broker ones. The new ones are like the Thorn reputation for Rat Ghouls, which isn't in use yet. There's two that everyone's familiar with that are just for the cartel market, and a third one that's being added tomorrow at the time we're recording this, will be added on Tuesday. It's called Interplanetary Component Exchange, or ICE. That won't be used yet even until a future patch. But there's all of these reputations out there. Each reputation has six different levels within it. It takes a different amount of reputation to get to each level, and that is more and more per level. There are outsider, newcomer, friend, hero, champion, and legend. And once you get to legendary with a rep, you're done with it. You've gotten to the top. Cumulative, all the way to the end, is 70,000 reputation points to get all the way to legendary. But it's only 2,500 to get to outsider, and then it's another 5,000 to get to newcomer. So it sort of builds. One thing we'll talk about more is there's a cap of 12,000 reputation across your legacy for each of the reputation categories per week. And that's important for a couple of reasons that we'll talk about next. But first, let's talk about why we care about reputation.
Yes. Why do you want to do that rep, quote unquote, grind? And of course, the reason you do them is for the rewards. Usually there is a selection of stuff that can be bought either with credits or with some kind of token or a mix of the two. Usually that stuff is gated by your rep level. Like some items will be available to you without any rep at all. Some you need to be outsider, newcomer, friend. Some you need to be legend. So there is that requirement on some of it. It's usually located in somewhere that makes sense for that rep. Like the greed vendors are on Ilum. The bounty broker supply vendors are in the cartel bazaar on the fleet, etc. It's usually cosmetic gear or fun stuff. In other words, rep is not a barrier to any content unless it's specifically tied to that event. So you do need a certain amount of rep before you can fight the Gree operations boss. And I'm guessing that it might be that also for the Rat Ghoul operations boss when it comes, and maybe for other events in the future. But it's typically, that's a very low level outsider or friendly or newcomer, I think it is for Gree, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But the important thing is, and I hear this all the time, people saying, well, I don't want to get into the rep grind. It's really your choice. You don't have to. There's nothing in the game you can't do because you don't have the rep for it, except for specific event things. So yeah, if you don't want to do it, that's great. Don't do it. But I will also say that if you like pets, if you like speeders, if you like the gear that's involved, then, you know, hop in there and do some rep activities and get a little rep on your plate and play with it. But, you know, it doesn't have to be a grind. You don't have to do from 0 to 70,000 in the fastest possible way. Just do it as it comes. Last thing, rewards I wanted to mention is some of the rep vendors and some of the planetary rep vendors sell dye recipes. Like I know there's one on the Voss reputation vendor, and there's one on some of the event vendors. So if you
one in Section wanna, X, I believe.
Yes, there is one in Section X. If you are an artificer and enjoy making dyes and selling dyes or making dyes for your friends or whatever, that's one reason that you might want to get some rep.
Yeah. I finished Bounty Hunter, the Bounty Broker Association rep, to up to legendary this week, mostly just to do it. There are a couple cool rewards. So I got to legendary and I go over to the vendor, and he's one of those creepy vendors that says, if you see something you like, give me a wink, which bugs the hell out of me every time I hear it. I'm like, dude, that is so creepy. You back off. step off. Anyway.
What do I do if I don't see anything I like?
Yeah. Look, I am not going to wink at you. I will point. I will tell you what I want. But the one thing I wanted from this guy, and I haven't transferred the credits because it's 750,000 credits, but it's the there's a drink server probe. So when you do the when you do the Brownie Broker, and if you use the little token item to serve them a friendly drink, there's a little drink probe that flies down. Well, you get to have one of those as a pet. So that's awesome.
I want to get one of those too. I want to get the miniature gray secant.
I do have that. So I finished Gree. I have not finished CZ-198. Have you finished that?
Yes.
I need to finish that. I keep forgetting to go crank through that each week because I like that mount at the end of the CZ-198 rep grind for Legend. That big taxi looking thing looks awesome.
That is why I did that rep, and I got the taxi, and now I use my Hong Kong speeder all the time.
Meep, meep.
Yeah. Although I may get the sleigh I-24 because it depends on how the jingle bells sound. But, you know, I don't know. They may surpass the Hong Kong.
Yeah, I have the one from last year, the Zamboni, which I like. But I'm going to get that sleigh. I have enough Gray Helix components to get one of the spheres. I think I have 48 probably on my Vanguard. Because that's how much you needed to get the one of the original spheres, maybe the red sphere or the blue sphere. So I could use some of those to get the cyan sphere. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know why I never spent them, because they're just still sitting there. I just never got it. I like to hoard. You know, I'm a hoarder.
Yeah, I hear you.
I just hoard that stuff.
I like to do dailies. So especially when they generate cash, and I especially like to do them when they generate experience, because when they do, it's a lot of experience. But when you also get rep for a daily, that's just a little bit icing on the cake for me. So I have basically maxed out all the reps where you got rep for doing dailies, because anything that generates cash that I can have fun with friends, or that only takes a few minutes, you know, in the morning over my first cup of coffee, I'll go for that. So I have all those reps. The reps I haven't touched, of course, are the cartel, the ones that you get for buying stuff from the cartel shop.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't even thought about doing those, and probably won't. I'm not big into, I bought dyes this past time, so I spent a bunch of my cartel coins, but I still can't spend the ones I have left on packs. So I haven't gotten over that. I haven't jumped over that cliff yet. I still do not have, I haven't finished the Section X rep. I'm not sure why, because there's definitely dailies associated with it. The last few characters that I leveled up, I did send them out to Section X to do dailies once or twice while they were leveling, but it adds up over time. I just still have a little ways to go yet on that one.
That one, the weekly, requires 4 people to get through the final Aurora Cannon or whatever the weekly instance is in Section X. So it's not as easy just to run through it.
I feel a little bit, you know, I don't like that. That seems arbitrary to me. So yes, that probably does kind of set me back, because I know I can't go in there and just solo the 4-man, that I have to find 3 other people and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So like Black Hole, you can pretty much just buzz through that final for the weekly if you want to. But Section X, it has that artificial gate.
The Ghostbusters gates. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus you can cross the beams. Nothing happens.
Right. Yeah. That's disappointing. So same thing. So I have plowed through a couple of the reps. I do not do any of the cartel reps. I'm 0 in all the cartel reps. I do a couple things. I hoard my cartel coins, and I love to save my cartel coins for legacy unlocks. So I still have like 9,000 coins right now, but they're earmarked for legacy unlocks of a couple of special mounts. I want to unlock the Rakdal eventually on for my legacy, and the Dewback, and the various other bunch of stuff, just be able to have that in my bag. I'm not a big daily guy, as you know, so I get credits other ways. Other nefarious way, backstreet bartering ways. So I'm a little behind on CZ-198 and Section X and Black Hole.
Just to clarify, I also get credits other ways. But for me, doing the daily it's a little bit of playing the game. It's a little bit of getting cash. It's a little bit of getting XP. It's a little bit of getting it just all adds up to making it worth it to me.
Now, Bounty Broker, I didn't do it super hardcore, but this past week, I did make sure that I had less than 12,000 rep to go, or last month, less than 12,000 rep to go, so I could do it all this week, which I did. But when I say hardcore, I did do the GREE rep hardcore in that I did it in the minimum amount of time possible. So that's one thing I wanted to cover, which is the tips around the maximum reputation you can get per week. So there's two categories of two bonuses to reputation, either zero bonus up to 10% bonus for your guild bonus. The way the reputation cap works is you cannot exceed the cap at the time you're turning in your last token. So the trick to getting the maximum amount of reputation per week is to turn in as many tokens as possible to get just under 12,000 and then turn in one of the purple tokens because they come in three colors with different values for each, the green, the blue, and the purple. Turn in the purple token and get the maximum possible reputation then for the week. And if you are a subscriber, and you have if you had the 10% guild bonus, then when you turn in that last purple token, you can get up to 13,563 total rep for the week. If you have the zero guild bonus, you get 13,410 total reputation for the week if you turn in the correct combination of blue, purple, and green tokens to lead up to that to get to those 11,970 for zero bonus and 11,979 for the 10% guild bonus. The trick to finding out which tokens to turn in what combination to get that maximum for your legacy across all your characters for the week, there's a couple places you can go and find that chart. Dolphy has one, and I put one up in a sortable one in a spreadsheet up on newoverlords.com. What you can do is you can sort by, I usually sort by the purple tokens, figure out how many I have. You need one more than it tells you because that'll be the one you turn in after you turn these in. But it'll show you the number of greens, blues, and purples, to all the combinations possible to turn in to get that cap.
But you did the math, right? And so once you get to champion, you can just hand them in any order, anytime, because at that point, no matter how you squeeze it, it's going to be the same number of resets to get to 70K.
Yes.
Okay.
It's always the same number to get to 70K. The trick to the reason you would potentially be doing it to go faster would be because of the champion level, you're right. So if you super cap, like I call it super cap, if you turn in that over that maximum and force yourself beyond that 12K, you can get to champion in two resets, which means it's less than 3 weeks. It's 15 days if the event is every week. But in two resets, you can get to champion, which you could not do. You have to wait three resets if you're doing it and only getting 12,000 per week.
Gotcha. So I was just going to say the reason you might want to get to champion would be because there's a weapon you want to buy, or there's some kind of reward on a vendor that they won't sell you until you get to champion.
Which was the case for the Gree. I think it was the armor sets, either the white armor set. One of the armor sets required champion. So I super capped. I got to that level as quickly as I could, and I got those rewards that I wanted. And it was fun.
And sometimes there's a title too at one or two of the rip steps, like usually one at Legend and one at one of the earlier ones too. I forgot to mention all about titles.
Yep. So you can show off your title that you got it first before anyone else. The other tool I use, which you can find on newoverlords.com, is I have a spreadsheet that maps out exactly how much reputation there is for each of the levels and how much cumulative there is, and allows you to put in how many tokens you have, green, blue, purple, across all your characters, and it'll tell you how much you still need to get to either champion or legendary. So that spreadsheet is sort of useful just to show you how much farther you still need to go, and if you've got tokens in the bank, how much you've got sort of banked for future resets. One other thing I was going to mention, since we're there for Gree and the Gree are coming back this week, is the main way to get all the Gree rep is to run through all of the dailies and the weekly, which is the Xeno Analyst Operations boss fight. But there are a couple ways to get rep outside of the dailies and the weeklies, which are repeatable, and you could accumulate those rep turn-in tokens as many times as you want, and as many times as possible in a day from both the Gree world bosses and the ancient Gree destroyer PvP droid in the middle of the PvP area. So back when the Gree first came out, you required newcomer rep, which is a cumulative rep of 7,500 rep, to go and fight the Xenoanalyst boss. There were people fighting that boss like on the first day. And the way they did it was they farmed the world bosses, they swapped back and forth between different map instances of Ilum, refarmed the world bosses, killed that Gree destroyer, and got 8 people in their guild up to 7,500 rep on the very first day, and were able to go and do that operation boss. So if you're going after the Gree, and if your guild needs you to get some extra rep, or you're doing it and you just joined and you don't have Gree rep, there are those ways to sort of work hard and get that rep and get caught up. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
I think in future arguments about the definition of the word hardcore, I'm going to bring up, if your guild was killing Xenoanalysts on the first day of the first Gree event, that's hardcore.
Yeah. We can do sort of like a you might be a hardcore list. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll think up more. I can't do them on the fly, so we'll think them up and we'll come up with it. However, we went through pretty quick, but I think we covered a lot of stuff, and I think we are good. Our little EPC 17 droid here is filled up and ready to go. So, thanks for listening. For comments or questions, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIECima, or drop in on Jedi Covenant and ask us for an invite. Our character names are in the show notes. For AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org or find us on Facebook or Google Plus at AIE SWOTOR. And we will talk to you soon.
Good night.